Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings 90s Nostalgia Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah. You know, we got a lot of positive feedback, actually, about what happened to you last week, which I believe gives us permission to behave like that all the time.
What happened here last week is funny. I brought you all together to talk about what happened here last
week. What happened.
I was so pleased that we said some things, just memories, that really resonated with other people who had memories. That's beautiful.
Someone on Twitter was like, that the Blockbuster thing was very real. And I was like, that's the one I wanted people to relate to the most.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, honestly, I'm like, tomorrow's Friday. If I could go wander around a Blockbuster at the end of the day, like, I might be motivated to make it through the day in the first place.
Yeah, I think standing in a Blockbuster would heal me.
Do you guys think there are any, like, independent video stores, like, still out there?
There's still one Blockbuster in Seattle?
Yeah, I follow Seattle Videodrome in Atlanta on Twitter, and like them.
Should we all drive to Atlanta once we get off this Zoom?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, that's not as much as a sacrifice for you as it would be for the two of us.
and yet I said yes so excitedly.
So fast.
I'm looking up video stores. I don't think we have one, but I'm looking at video stores in Minneapolis, where I live. Wow. Closed, but opens at 10 a.m. on Friday. Video Universe.
I'm pretty sure if I Google
Video Universe...
Pretty sure if I Google Video Store Boston, it's going to come up with, like, adult DVDs.
Adult DVD came up first for me as well, yeah.
This is mainstream to adult. They have it all.
Oh. So you've got adult options and non-adult options. That's nice.
That is really nice.
My childhood best friend's father, who owned a video store, it was called Fun Stuff, which is actually crazy. That wasn't an adult video store.
It was a simpler time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wait a second. I think it closed forever.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Oh, I'm looking. Okay. I'm looking at a story from February of this year.
Oh, no. Oh, if you God. Just, you missed just it by 2 months.
Video Universe. Is that Dang. What I just said? It just closed.
Wow.
It was the last one in Minneapolis.
They should have hung on for 2 more months because the nostalgia for video stores is coming around right now.
Yeah, this is the moment. Oh, yeah. No. It was located in a strip mall. Okay. All right. Well, do you guys want to talk about, how are you doing? Are you well?
That's impeccable. That's how you know we've been doing a podcast for 2 years, because we're just really good at it.
It's small talk with other humans. Amazing.
Y'all done here?
Well, in your minds and your bodies. Are you healthy? Are you happy?
I'm healthy. And you and your family, are they healthy as well?
No. No. Oh my God, no.
Do you remember, like, in the beginning of the pandemic, every time you had to email someone at work, you had to be like, hope all you and yours are well.
Yes.
And now then stay
safe at the end. Yeah. There was a lot of very, very sincere well wishing. It was kind of like, oh yeah, back when infectious diseases were more of a thing, people were very emphatic about asking after people's health. And I guess that's why.
Well, that's what a lot of the conversation was, I gather, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you really had to do like a sandwich where you were like, hope all of you and yours are staying safe in this yep. chaotic time. Can I ask you about line 7 on the Excel spreadsheet? Hope you're staying safe.
Do you think that as we potentially transition into a roster split at AEW, people will start saying, hope you are staying safe in this chaotic time to each other?
Everyone who goes to Saturday, people are like, how are you doing? You doing okay?
It's like when you can either get, you could potentially get split onto Saturday Collision or sent off to the battlefields of ROH. Every missive just has to be like, hope you and yours are well. Please stay safe out there. Okay. Well, on that note, do you want to talk about wrestling now that I didn't learn anything about how well anybody is, but
I think this demonstrated perfectly. We don't need to get into it.
That's so true. Show don't tell. Okay. Orange Cassidy, Adam Cole Bandito, and Roderick Strong fought Jake Hager, Daniel Garcia, and 2.0 on Dynamite. They were the opening match. Chris Jericho came out wearing the somewhat contentious Britt Baker Black Eye t-shirt. He was on commentary for the match, which was a very, like, wrestling-wise, normal, I'd say medium fun, eight-man match. Orange Cassidy had some, like, kind of specifically got into it with Jake Hager and Danny Garcia. Adam Cole and Roderick Strong definitely were there. We'll talk about that. And Jeff Parker took the pin, and after the match, Adam Cole charged commentary to beat up Chris Jericho for beating up his girlfriend vicariously through women because of the reasons.
And vicariously through women.
Don't know what's happening with me right now. I wish that I'd written this better. And so then Chris Jericho had security escort Adam Cole off the premises, and as they were doing that, Britt showed up and flew at Chris Jericho and called him Bitch Jericho and slapped his face. Okay, so let's talk about it. What did you like Jericho. What you did?
Bitch Jericho was very funny. I like that
Bitch
a lot.
Jericho was very funny, yeah. So we liked that.
You're the transition to kindergarten teacher there really went well.
I think I'm doing really amazing. Well, I don't want to cut us off from talking about the actual fight, but I want to dig into this same question from last week of the coherence of this storyline. So, Anne, I think you may be the only one of us who saw or knows the existence of this. Did you see it, Leah?
No. Nope.
Okay, so do you want to explain it to us?
Yeah, well, I just saw this clip that I think must be from The Road to, but I saw it in like an Instagram reel, you know, the way that wrestling's meant to be watched, obviously. So it was basically, it was like a little promo where OC and Adam Cole, and I don't even remember what exactly was said, but it was basically like they both hate Chris Jericho. They don't really like each other, but because they hate Jericho, they're like teaming up. So, you know, on Instagram reels, they gave a really coherent explanation of why they were doing this, which
and
I think
neither
is
of them
so admirable.
Is that correct?
I think Adam Cole said it, but
I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted with the lack of attention to detail here, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, this whole match, like, I felt like I couldn't even, like some fun stuff happened and things, but it was, like, so inexplicable, and I was so mad about it that it was hard to, like, have a good time.
I know, because, I mean, like, there were good things about it, you know? Like, Chris, Jake Hager swinging OC around while commentary called him, like, Big OC or whatever it was he said was very good. But I just kept being like, it's like JAS got to choose their opponents out of a lineup, you know,
yeah,
like dodgeball
it was like
style.
When -1 like booked a match, yeah. So it was just like his three. It was Cody and OC and like
Darby.
Preston Vance or something. Yeah, it was just like, yeah, he's 9, so that's fine. But like, I do expect a little more from a regular show.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Me too. I really was just so distracted by it through the whole match because it wasn't even like a background factor as far as I could tell. Like, it wasn't even like OC was like, okay, I don't know how I fully trust you, but we both hate Jericho, so we're here. It's like, someone sent us something about thingy, what's it, Adam Cole saying that he owes the Elite an apology.
Yes, right? Emmy Adam, yes. Page on Tumblr.
Yes, but I think that actually the image she sent us, I think you're both listeners, if I'm correct.
Yes, they are. So, the other one, it was awful waffly.
Awfully waffly. Yeah, we love you both. Thank you so much for having a conversation that I observed and can just barely recall. But anyway, but that he said that in like a panel somewhere. And it's like, Adam Cole, you cannot be doing your apology tour fully off camera. Like, the whole point of this show is to entertain me. So why is your character doing everything off camera?
It's crazy. And like, how hard would it be to have like one line on the actual show where they like have a conversation about not liking Chris Jericho or like just express anything on the
just
show.
Just 2 seconds of talking to each other. I mean, I don't feel like I'm asking for that much. And I also thought this about, so we got the announcement that Orange Cassidy is going to fight Daniel Garcia next week, presumably based on their interactions in this match where like OC like was a little slap Danny Garcia's chest and he didn't like it and et cetera, you know, the deal. And it's like, so you couldn't have like maybe had this match happen in a, like they have a little backstage encounter or like Danny mm-hmm. Garcia, or they're giving each other some meaningful looks at the end, or like, we didn't set this up at all. Like, I don't think it's crazy to just ask you to take 5 seconds to set it up. I don't think it's too much. I know that sometimes the men say it. Don't let the, you know.
No, seriously, it's crazy. Because, like, people have, like, little conflicts in matches all the time, and it doesn't mean that they're taking anything personally because this is, like, a little athletic, you know, thing. So, like, make it commercial. It's a little athletic fake thing. And sometimes it's fine and they do a handshake of respect and sometimes it's not fine. So if it's not fine, just like make it clear it's not fine.
Right. Or Adam, you know,
Adam Cole is just so like committed to being like, I've always been good. I've never been bad. And everybody so knows annoying. That. And it's like, you actually, I mean, you could at any point be like, oh man, I'm sorry about all that craziness. And it wouldn't diminish the fact that you were a face now.
Okay. Yeah, you could be like, I had a lot of time while I was off to do a lot of thinking about my past behavior, you know.
And yeah. Should we start Adam Cole gaslighter discourse?
We should. It's a classic gaslighter, and I don't appreciate it.
In the true sense, I think, kind of, maybe. I mean, not with the lamps aren't flickering yet. Well, actually, on Dynamite, a lot of the times they are flickering on and off. There's some Tony Khan, the ultimate gaslighter. Okay, well, somebody's going to yell at us about that. Any general match thoughts beyond that? Did you guys like Roderick Strong's first outing?
I thought he would have a personality of some sort.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet.
It's like, I think he's cute, but it's like, yeah, he might as well have been any man out there.
Yeah.
No one expressed anything.
Yeah. Like, my heart is open because I believe that he is of the storytelling sort that we like, but.
Yeah, and he has a relationship with Kylo, and I think Kylo needs that, especially now that his husband left. and so he's just been at home healing while his husband, Bobby Fish, is. You bet you thought you'd seen the last.
It's so funny how down in flames Bobby Fish went. It's just like,
I love it.
Every time I remember it happened, I'm like, wow. Yeah.
You really fucked up. You just so really funny. Fucked up.
Wild.
It's so funny. I really.
To try to do subterfuge and everyone you pick to do it to, like, immediately rat you out to Tony Khan. Just like instantly. Like, worst spy in the world.
You have to know that your friends are narcs. The most important thing, and I say this as a narc friend, you know, like, I'm like, you know, some stuff is safe to tell me, but some stuff isn't. Cause I'm going to be like, oh, that's dangerous. No, we can't do that. That's dangerous.
But the funniest part of all of it is that like WWE didn't even hire him.
I know. He's like doing shows.
That's the part that killed
people.
Me.
Like, really?
Bobby,
it's like
Bobby,
when,
Bobby.
Rachel on Friends, they're like, how did that job interview go? And she was like, I didn't get that job and I lost the job I did have. It's like, that is a bad job interview.
Yeah. But, you know, as I said a couple weeks ago, it's so important that it happened because I couldn't live without that picture of him. I need that picture of him. You all know the one. It's so important to the lexicon of life online. I need it, and I have it now. Bobby, I don't think it's impossible that you could get hired back. We'll see if Kylo still loves you enough. I need Kylo back. I need Kyle O'Reilly back. I need him back. I want him to be safe, going on? Healthy.
Where is
he was always going to be out for a long time.
I know, but it's been like so long.
I asked Sarah if anyone's speculating about a return, and she says she hasn't even seen anyone speculating it. She thinks it's going to be kept like really secret until it happens, but... I think that they should just, like, you know how everybody, like, is, like, Chris is coming back anytime?
Yeah.
Like, I need to be hearing that about Kyle now.
I need to be hearing that, too. Yeah. I just thought, you know how like Roderick Strong's release from WWE was so quiet, like there were no rumors at all, like no one had wind of it at all. He's kind of like the opposite of Bobby Fish in terms of subterfuge there. So we really swapped him out.
I hope he's Kyle's new husband. I'm ready for
It'd
that.
It'd be nice, yeah.
Or at least his new friend. I hope he gets that.
Really unexpected that Allie's like, you know, not all men have to be lovers, Leah.
She's like, friendship, Leah.
You know, male friendship exists.
You've heard of it? He might not be ready to move on. I know he already knows Roddy's an old friend, so, I don't know what is going to happen there romantically or sexually, but I'm certainly glad that he'll have support when he returns. Doesn't it make you feel insane? So Adam Cole's a face now. Can I ask you guys to take 1 second to just think about Kyle as a face?
I kind of can't, you know, is the thing. Like, I'm just sort of like, maybe Adam will drag him through the face tunnel, but I just can't ever see him not being like,
he's also such like a scruggly little googly eyed man that I don't know, like there's a jolliness to Kylo, I think.
Oh, a jolliness is jolliness. What we're calling
yeah.
it.
That's
the word I chose. I was with you right up into the moment of jolliness.
A good heartedness, maybe jolly is not.
He's
right.
A little Santa Claus.
We're really underusing the word jolly, I think. So
I don't think we should be using it even as much as we do. Okay. So related to our kind of continuity concerns here, does one of you guys, I think you guys probably have read more about this. Do you want to talk about this new role that...
I don't know that we know that much, but they announced that Will Washington from Fightful got hired as... He had some kind of fancy title. It was like wrestling administrative coordinator or something like that.
It was like fancy, but it also kind of sounded like he was Tony Khan's personal assistant, the way they were like executive assistant or something. It was I don't think that's so. But then his role
and then
like
they got more details. Yeah, and he's going to be a writer and specifically tracking continuity. And I'm like, that is what we'd be needing.
Desperately needed.
Someone being like, hey, that doesn't really add up with what happened last week.
Yeah, very psyched to hear that he's in creative and the continuity thing. Although then when I read like the longer thing, I was like, he's responsible for like 30 things. So like I'm a little less excited about it. But if there's anything AEW needs, I would love some attention to continuity. And Will Washington usually seems like the only person with a brain in his head in wrestling media. So
yeah,
He's very nice. He seems nice in his opinions that nice I think have been fine to me. So
his favorite wrestler's OC. So
that, and we like that because OC like that. Needs that continuity help more than anyone. No, I mean, he does a good job, but just in this moment.
Max Caster hates him though, doesn't he?
Will Washington?
Yeah, but it might be kayfabe.
I think it's like, really? Kayfabe.
Yeah, I watched the Scrum. It was before All Out. When did the Acclaim win the titles? Not whatever that was.
All Out.
No, it was All Out.
Was it All Out?
Yeah, because like...
Oh my God, it was All Out.
Because it was over
out.
The summer. Yeah,
oh my God, and it never got pressed.
It was the normal part of the press.
Happened.
Yeah. Yep.
100%. But during the All Outs, that's right. That's right. Nobody talked about it because it seemed not important. But Max Caster said something so bitchy to Will Washington, and it was absolutely undeserved. Really? Like, Will Washington raised his hand to ask a question, and Max Caster was like, yeah, does Swerve Strickland's little leaker have something to say or something like that? And, like, wow. And you know what? Fiery. It made no news.
kind of buried. Who can remember what else happened? But
I love that. Like that's the beauty of committing a crime on Purge Day. That's right. Much reportage. Like, yeah, lots of stuff happened. Okay, well, I'm excited at the idea that it's like I kind of think that because I don't think that Tony is like I don't think it's that he like doesn't think about continuity at all, but I think sometimes the continuity things that he cares about aren't right or like, you know what I mean? Like he'll just, I think sometimes he makes a decision. He's like, yeah, no one's going to care about that. And it's like, yes, we do.
I think
we
he like
three
he,
women,
right. He like cares about the matches so much more than like how you get there, I think. And then he's like, also seems overloaded in the things he's trying to think about at one time. So,
yeah, I mean, the man has like 90 jobs.
Yeah.
And he seems to actually do them a lot, which is crazy. Couldn't be me. Okay, let's talk about what's going on with the Pillars this week. So this week on Rampage, we had a little promo with Sammy and Ty Conti. This was the honestly the hammiest thing that I had ever seen in my life. Like, I was like, we are doing a little too much here. Doing a little, and it takes a lot for me to say that. But she basically was like, Sammy, MJF is not your friend. He doesn't really like you. And you shouldn't sell out your dreams for money. And Sammy looked like he was really contemplating this. I was like, you know that MJF isn't your friend. When people are all interacting this hamily, you have to know that kind of thing, right? Am I crazy?
No, I mean, it seems like the way that Sammy and MJF has been interacting is very like they're both trying to use each other. So yeah, surprise to me if MJF, if Sammy, if either of them think they're really friends, that's very surprising. Yeah.
Did you guys see that Daniel Garcia tweet where he was like, Sammy hasn't returned any of my phone calls in weeks, but he just sent me a friend request on an iPhone game. And Sammy replied and was like, yeah, accept.
That was very funny. Okay, and then on Dynamite, Sammy did confront MJF about the car situation last week, where MJF was like, there's no room in my car for you, but there was no one else in the car. MJF said that he unfortunately needed to lie down because he has a really bad back, and he didn't want Sammy to think that he was a whim.
He has a bad back from carrying this company.
Yes, you're right, yes. He didn't want Sammy to think he was a wimp. Sammy kind of forgave him. They hammily kissed each other. This was so funny. I mean, when they do this hammy interacting, which is actually is very MJF Chris Jericho, like you can tell, like that was the first iteration. It is great. I don't think it always makes sense, but it's great.
They're having so much fun. When people are having fun doing the thing they're doing, a lot of times it does pop me. And I'm like, this doesn't add up, but I'm enjoying you.
Yeah.
Okay. Meanwhile, Darby and Jungle Boy seemed to have mostly gotten on the same page so that they could approach this tag match with MJF and Sammy together. They cut some promos at each other early in the show for kind of no reason. Like it was like they were just kind of monologuing at each other. Mm-hmm. And then later MJF snaked into their dressing room and told Jungle Boy, so this was while Darby was out getting water or something. He told Jungle Boy, like, listen, man, like, you're my best friend. Like, I think that you should also throw the match because you're not championship material, but you could have a place like at my side as my right hand. And Jungle Boy was like, no, that's fucked. But Darby walked in like as MJF was kind of wrapping things up. So he succeeded in sowing some dissent there because Darby was clearly like, I don't fucking trust you right now, which is very funny. We can talk about it afterwards, just the characterization stuff going on here. but fun. So then they have the tag team match. Both tag teams have some tension because MJF and Sammy are both kind of like wanting to be the main showboat and not able to maintain their fake friendship for the course of the match. And Darby and Jungle Boy don't trust each other. I'm losing track of these names. So eventually, JB pinned Sammy, but he wasn't the legal man. So Darby coffin dropped like onto Sammy for the win, and JB like just barely managed to roll out of the way in time. So they did win, but they didn't look that happy at the end, and I couldn't completely tell what was going on between them. I don't know if you guys could.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Jungle Boy thought that he was going to get the pin, and like, I mean, Darby did kind of like screw him, like he blind tagged in and JB didn't realize it, so he kind of felt like Darby stole it, where like I don't know,
but also like Darby seemed as mad as JB, and also like the way they were standing at a certain point when they were yelling at each other at the end was like blocking their faces from the camera, like they really weren't angled right. I was like, guys, tighten up.
I'm thinking of a different shot, I think, because they were like, there was a part where they were talking to each other. I could see their lips moving, but I can't read lips, so I didn't know what they were saying. They definitely didn't seem happy. I want to say something again that is pretty damning. I don't know what a blind tag is.
When the guy on the apron tag like slaps like the back of like the guy like, who's legal.
When the other guy isn't trying to tag.
He just pat his butt.
And JB kind of ran into Darby with the blind tag, and then Darby tagged him, which is why JB didn't notice that he had gotten tagged.
Maybe I think that's kind of good then. If it's like not that clear that anybody was really in the wrong exactly, Is that what we were thinking?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think my vibe from that was not that anybody did anything wrong, but just that neither of them trusted the other one to behave right. Yeah. So they were both like, it wasn't quite Scorpion, but like just really defensive, protective of their own interests. So they're like, I can't trust you to have my back, so I have to have my own back.
And I think one of the classic like tag team things where it's like they're not on the same page, so they like accidentally hit each other, or, you know, like they're just like physically not interacting like well. Yeah.
Well, what did you guys think overall of kind of like some of the relationships in this storyline?
I really like the way they set them up. Like, I think they were doing a good job at trying to get like tension between both teams. And I really like it when you have like sort of, you know, like four people where you kind of know what they all want and what they're all worried about with the other. And they kind of have different different motivations, but it's like clear to you, the viewer. So I thought that was really good. I did think like JB and Darby didn't execute it super well. Like when they were doing their monologuing promo, I think it would have been better if they had been like actually having a conversation that was like a little more bickery, but that might be sort of like beyond their capabilities. I don't know.
I think that if they thought it through and tried, they could do it, because I agree that I was like, guys, at this point, you just need to talk to each other. You shouldn't be talking in like full promo language right now. You should be talking to each other like as people with like a tinge of promo language.
And they ended up being a lot like, I've always thought this about you. And it's like, I don't know that you guys have. Like, can't you just be mad about the match? Like, can't you just have a fight about the match last week? You know, like.
Right. Or, I mean, or like maybe if you zoom in a little bit, because I think it's like if you picked on a certain thing and it's like, you're always like this, like when such and such kind of thing happens, you act this way. That's believable. Even if they've been on the same page at certain times, it's like kind of, that's good character continuity, just to be like, this is the kind of person you are. And when things are going well, it's fine. But when things aren't going well, it's really fucking annoying. And like, I can't depend on you.
Right.
Yeah. I think with them, it was just like, they haven't had very many interactions at all. So it was hard to be like, you're going wide with this, but I don't even believe that you have like long-term serious thoughts about each other kind of, but anyway, regardless.
I don't think, even think about each other. But I did think they both also, I think you pointed this out, Anne, and I also clocked it that like, I think like JB had the line where like, he was like, do you remember what you said? Like, where he was just like, I want the championship. They both are leaning with MJF. So much on the belt stuff.
Yeah, it was like MJF was like trying to bribe him, and JB was like, no, like, I want to be the champion, so that's why I won't do it. And I thought, well, like, wouldn't it be better as a babyface to like not want to cheat, though? Yeah. Like,
ever think about ethics? You guys don't have to do an ethics compliance course or anything? What kind of a workplace
that
is
would be
this?
Amazing. Someone should make like a little wrestling PowerPoint ethics compliance, because I feel like that could be ripe for comedy.
You know, but the thing is that like JB honestly is not capable of this, but there is a world in which he sells it, because like he had a moral run as tag team champs with Luchasaurus, right? Like they did everything right. They behaved the way a babyface tag team champ should. And the reign was kind of boring and they got defeated pretty quick. And then he got absolutely destroyed by his mentor and his best friend, and everything got ruined. So there is a world in which he's actually able to be like, no, this time I'm doing it for myself. I want to do, you know, I'm going to do it for real. I'm going to do it alone. And no, like, I'm not going to tie myself to doing it any specific way, you know.
Just, I'm a grown up. I buried my dad.
I'm Jack Perry now, bitches.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm not gonna cheat because like I'm gonna win clean and prove that I'm a big man now.
And honestly, that would be, well, you can't do it because you had him do all that teaming with Hook and stuff, but I'm like, that actually would be a good angle for his character right now, is to be like, I have insane trust issues now.
Yeah,
I actually have crazy
really
trust
good.
Issues now.
Yeah,
I used to be a sweet innocent boy, but now I'm a grown man who can't trust people, and I don't trust you, and I won't have your back. Like,
that would be such
at my own expense. Yeah.
That would be such an interesting run compared to what he's actually doing. Like, that'd be a great little character direction to go. Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, that'd be good. Okay, well, we'll see what happens. But thoughts, anticipation for the Double or Nothing four-way we're now getting. What do you want?
So MJF is definitely not losing to any of them, which is absolutely, like, fine to me. Like, we actually had a conversation with Jeff on one of the weeks you were gone about whether, like, whether that matters. And for me, it hasn't mattered because I've enjoyed the Pillars thing so much. But one of the things apparently Dave was saying this morning, Dave Meltzer was saying that he thought that MJF should have taken the pin for the shock value to really make people think, like, oh, shit, could he lose? Which I don't really know that, like, I don't know how I feel like that. What do you guys think about that?
I still wouldn't have bought it because I just would have gone into, like, pre-PV mode where you're like, oh, yeah, sometimes someone takes a pin now because they're not going to take it at the pay-per-view.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe. I think it would have been fine, but I don't think that it would have changed my opinion about what's going to happen at the pay-per-view. Yeah. Like, for me, the real question is, like, how does he manage to win?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. I guess zag on me, Tone. Zag on me, big Tone. As I love to say. Well, I guess we'll see what happens. Okay. You guys want to move on to the Elite?
The Elite.
So last week, the BCC cut a post-Dynamite promo in which Bryan Danielson said that he wants really badly to love Takeshita, a love that never ends. I want to love that man, he said. I said, Bryan, you're absolutely wilding right now. But unfortunately, Takeshita chose to be an amateur cancer instead, and Danielson's heart is broken. So then Mox tagged in to lick his own blood and talk about the taste of, but it wasn't, I guess it was Takeshita's blood that was on his hands. So he licked it and said it tasted like Kenny's blood, which there's just a lot to unpack there. Like, I'm not really equipped. And then he challenged Kenny to a cage match. He said, I'm guaranteed that you're going to walk out of that building with a broken heart and a broken fucking face. And to me, that was sex. So then this week, the BCC also cut a promo in which Danielson kind of expanded on his vision for AEW and why it's superior to that of the Elite. Mox tagged in again. So we can talk a little bit about that. We also, on Dynamite, heard from Kenny and Don Callis. So Kenny started kind of cutting a pretty serious promo, got interrupted by Don Callis, who wanted to show off his head scar, understandable. And then Kenny eventually got to kind of complete his promo about how he and Mox are good wrestlers and they're going to wrestle in a cage. Thoughts?
Mox, when he was talking about the cage match, he said, Mox and Omega, it just hits different. And I was like, literally was like, yeah, it does. It does. Thank you so much.
It was funny, but it also was like, a little bit of a candy bar commercial. It's like, you're not wrong, but you are selling me a Snickers right now.
I swear, everything that Mox and Bryan Danielson are doing is like so insane, but I like love it so much. But like rewatching that promo from Dynamite, because I was in a mood and there were a lot of promos where I was like, I didn't really retain anything that was said. And then I rewatched it and I was like, oh, nothing was said or like didn't make any sense, and that was kind of what was going on with this one, but I was still into it. So
I liked all of this. I got a little, the Dynamite promo with BCC I found like a little weird, just because like Danielson's tone in that one, and I don't remember anything exactly that he said, but as I was watching it, I was like, I don't think that you're laying this out in like a heel enough way. Like, I actually think that you'd kind of just sound like Bryan Danielson right now. And it wasn't until Mox tagged in and was doing like his stick of being like, the Elite used to be like he was kind of like building the Elite up, mm-hmm. and then being like, but you lost the edge and like now the BCC has to take control and like we're the OG. I was like, that's working for me. Like, that feels like really good heel work, where you're like building up the Elite and you come off as a bad guy, like even though like you just want to sharpen the blades of young men, which I guess is technically fine. Danielson's, I was like, you need to remember that you're doing a punk impression. You're a very bad man. Okay. I can't listen to discourse about how you're right here. Okay. I need you to really be wrong, Bryan Danielson. So please keep that in mind. Am I crazy for saying that?
No, it's absolutely right. I mean, sometimes when Bryan Danielson is like talking, I'm like just very aware that he is like, I am giving a bad guy promo. Am I doing a good job? I think so.
Sometimes yes, but other times no. Yeah. I don't know. But what do you guys think of Kenny's kind of like dark Kenny look?
Just real quick. When Tony Khan says to me, you'll hear from the elite, and then what I hear from is Kenny, I don't mean to be mean to Kenny.
John Callis was also there, Leah, so.
It damages trust, would you say?
Yeah, I would say.
I think it does, too.
And we're already on thin ice with that man, so.
Tony, it damages trust. We need to be able to believe the things that you say. That's all. That's
the gaslights can't be flickering.
Tony, it's getting a little flickery in this theater.
That said, I really loved the image of like Don shoving in front of Kenny and Kenny taking a step back so that half of his face was in darkness and he just looked serious and like intent. And I was like, oh, this is such a good look.
Well, and he refused to look at the camera the whole time that Don was talking. And then barely, like, there was a period where then he was talking and he wasn't looking at the camera. I was like, ooh, like, not, I know he's not like dark Kenny, but like Kenny, like, who's not having a good time, really does hit different because he puts in a whole different mode. And you know, his hair still is not good hair, but he looks amazing. Like, he's getting to that, you know, that the Kenny, my favorite Kenny look, I probably already said it on here, the one where he looks like he's in you know, Little Mean Witches,
Little Mean Witches, The Craft.
You know, The Craft.
Is that what you were trying to say? Wow. Yes.
Leah knows. when he looks like what's her face in The Craft.
I can't come up with the actress. I can see her in my mind, but I can't come up with it.
It's an F and a B. Okay, we can't.
We can't get into this.
You guys look that up on your own. But it's just when he's in his, like, you know, it's kind of like a Hot Topic teen goth, but like for real. You know, like the real deal, goth wise. Someone is about to get so mad at me for saying Kenny Omega is a real. I think he looks really good.
He's great. I am happy to see him. I'm not being mean to Kenny. He did a good job.
Although this was another promo where I was like, I didn't really retain what he said. I just kind of retained that he looked good, and then I rewatched it. I was like, oh, he didn't say anything. So
I didn't mind in this case though, because I'm like, the demeanor was really important, and the Don Callis cutting in was really important. So I'm like, it's not a nothing promo for me, even though the content isn't that deep. Because I'm like, oh no, I took some stuff away from that. It's that Kenny is in the process of like violently dissociating from his old identity.
Sometimes they could just dub like dialogue from The Sims like over some of these promos, and you'd get the same amount out of it.
Well, you know what? I don't think we should get into that until we reach the number one offender of the night. Let's give Kenny a pass, because later we're going to meet someone who really did a bad job.
It's true.
Any thoughts or expectations for the cage match?
I cannot believe it's just going to be on a random Dynamite. It's not even going to be like a special
in
Dynamite.
In Detroit.
I hope they didn't.
You're going to get in trouble from my Detroiters.
They keep mentioning it. That's the only reason I said it. Not because I don't think they deserve it, but because they keep like Kenny was just like, it all ends in Detroit. And I was like, okay.
Allie's just trying to divert attention from how she says fuck Detroit every day of her life. Just those guys. Don't give
them
anything.
I'm wearing my fuck Detroit sweatshirt right now, but that's what they can't say. But I said it. Just kidding. It is just on a random, but that's why I'm like, God, something crazy's got to happen, right?
Hopefully we get. Remember how good their exploding dynamite, exploding whatever match was before the pyro?
It was good all the way to the end.
It was so good until the end, yeah.
You know, it's very funny that we watched that at a time when I cared so little. I think maybe about either of those men, that at a certain point, like, that match came up, and I had the moment of being like, oh my God, that's who had that match? I couldn't remember which men did that. But they did that. Kenny and Mox, it just hits different. Have a Snickers. Break me off a piece of that Ken Mox bar. Okay. No other thoughts. We can move on. Let's talk about the women. We got to cruise through, cuz we're going to do a game at the end. So we really got to keep it moving here. Let's quickly talk about what's going on with the Outcasts. So Saraya fought Willow Nightingale on Dynamite and won, after the match, Sheeta ran out with her kendo stick like she was going to attack the Outcast. But instead, she dropped the stick. She hugged them. They're all laughing. We're aghast. We love Sheeta. She can't be hanging out with these freaks. And then she was going to spray paint Willow Nightingale. But then Britt and Jamie snuck into the ring behind the Outcast, and they were in cahoots with Sheeta, and they knocked the Outcast out. And so that they fell down on the ring in a perfect little trio of straight bodies that couldn't get up. And then they spray painted them.
They spray painted AEW on them.
Mm. Oh, is that what they did? That's fun. They didn't read it. Mm. So what do you think?
I was so glad that it was the swerve, because I, when Sheeta seemed like she
in
was,
retrospect, it's a classic wrestling classic, swerve, but they got classic. Me so, well, I was so mad.
So many of the decisions around this have been nonsensical that I absolutely could have believed trust. That this would happen. But like, I was just like, no. Like, she was like a naughty cat. And then when she actually attacked them, I was like, oh, thank you. Like,
I was like, in the middle of typing into the group chat, like, what the fuck? Well, she does an original. Like, why would they do this? And then it changed. And I was like, oh, at least I hadn't hit send yet.
I thought it was fantastic. The only thing that I would have said is that at the very end of it, I would have really, instead of Britt just like raising Sheeta's arm in triumph, I would have loved just a little moment where Sheeta and Britt just looked at each other kind of warily and were like, you know what? We're in this together. I still do not like you, and someday I will fight you again. But in this moment, we're together.
Absolutely, yes, that's what I wanted. It's just the acknowledgement of like, we have to be on a team now for the good of the company. But I won't forget the things you've done to me, and I know that you won't forget the things I've done to you. Yeah, come on. Do you want me to? I can't say it. Okay, so where did Willow go at the end? After she didn't get beat down, she just skedaddled.
Sometimes people do that. It's always so crazy to me. Like, sometimes people will just be like, nah, I'm out of here. I'm not dealing with that.
Thanks for the rescue, I guess. See you on the flippity-flop.
Very funny. I mean, sometimes it makes sense, but sometimes it would be a little funnier if they kind of, like, hung around. Like, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do now, but I guess I'll just stay.
And with Willow, actually, it would really work with her character if she, like, boisterously like squirmed her way in to be like, oh, can I raise my hand with you guys too?
That would be fun if Willow was kind of annoying Britt and Jamie,
because that's what she did to Ruby, and that was very fun with Ruby. So like, if she was doing it to Britt and Jamie, I would really enjoy that.
That would be really cute.
It would be so cute.
They've really got to put a little more effort into these interpersonal relationships, just complexify it just a little.
I feel honestly, like they've somehow like really gotten off track with them. Like, they just like seem to have forgotten recently that you should do that. And it's like, guys, please, just a little bit of theater acting. I'm not asking for anything crazy. Like, you don't have to go for the Mommy's Little Ham Award. And some of you shouldn't, because you can't be trusted with it. But just a
Will
little
Washington,
something.
Hopefully, better fix this. Will Washington, get in here and talk to these ladies.
I'm
going to
write
them
an email
on.
About the awards that we could honestly incentivize them with.
If anybody at AEW is going to be susceptible to some of our bright ideas, it might be Will Washington.
We need to get that in.
Okay, the one thing quick about Willow, it's, I laughed so hard. I was in the car driving home when this was happening, and I was cracking up where Britt did a talking head about how like she's so proud of the on All Access, so proud of the women's division. It's in such a better place, and she wants to be a mentor. And then they cut to Willow, and Will's like, Britt, can I talk to you for a minute? And Britt's like, of course, anytime. What can I do for you? And Willow's like, my tooth is kind of goofy. Look at my tooth. Okay.
And then Britt explicitly says she's like,
so funny.
She like goes, she's like, oh, going into dentist mode, and turns on her iPhone camera so she can look in her mouth. I did love that. And I was like, you are Willow. You are so cute. You are
You're so cute.
The most beautiful woman I've ever seen. You're so sweet. Yes, Britt, look at her tooth. And Britt was happy to do it.
Yeah, Britt did not. Yeah. But it was just like the framing got me so much. Yeah. Which is like, so funny. I love to be asked for my like woman wrestler advice.
Well, because they did transition right out of like Willow's being like, this has happened to my tooth like 4 times in the next year. But I don't want to wear a mouth guard. And then Britt is like, no, and I don't wear a mouth guard either. And it's like, and your smile is such a huge part of your act. And then she just starts giving wrestler advice. And all I could imagine was Willow just still sitting there like, what did I do about my tooth? It's happened four times in the past year.
Really more interested in the tooth.
Really? Yeah. Dental advice, Britt.
You did kind of get the sense that Britt is being asked for dental advice backstage, like, pretty regularly, which is something I really enjoy.
Yeah, I love that. Let's just briefly talk about the trio scene right now. So I guess I'll flip this now that I've figured out what's going on. But I wrote out a whole, like, you know, description of what happened here. And then at the only at the end, figured out from Anne's notes what happened. So, okay. So House of Black cut a promo on Dynamite that I guess we can just unpack together. Because they did talk a lot, but they didn't say much.
They kind of said a lot,
but in code, I would say. Once you'd gotten the solution to the code, it still didn't quite add up. Yeah,
they said they were doing. I thought this was so funny. They said they were doing something called open house, where any. I thought they were saying anyone could challenge for the belt. They said like any three people could be a team that challenges for the belt. And so I thought they were doing like an OC thing where it's just like, yeah, you want to fight, approach me. And they got into all these rules for how the fights would go. And I was like, this is crazy. They just won't shut up. I keep seeing close-ups of mouths. And then finally they left and they said, welcome to the open house. And I was like, it's very Montessori school somehow. And then it turned out, I really didn't understand this at all. No. That was setting up the trio's battle royale that we got on that same episode.
Wild.
Then why don't you say we're gonna have a battle royale? I'm sorry that you don't think that it fits your whole deal, but I'd love
sometimes you have to say the thing that you mean so that people understand the thing you mean.
Or you cut into, maybe they did this, cut into a thing where commentary is like House of Black has laid down the gauntlet that we'll be hosting the trio's battle royale. Did they say that?
You know we weren't listening.
Oh, no. I just can't.
It was crazy. I had no idea. And then, like, it was like, oh, there's a trio's battle royale. And then I think, like, Leah said in the group chat, she was like, yeah, it's for the belt. I was like, it's for the belt? Like, did House of Black, like, relinquish the belt? No, it wasn't.
It was a shot at the belt. I meant to say it was a shot at the belt.
For a shot at the belt, yeah. But, like, to me, it was very plausible that what they had said, because they had said some stuff about the belts being tainted and they were casting them down and stuff. So it's, like, easily could have meant the battle royale was for the belts, like, for all I knew.
I was asking Sarah like this a series of like the world's stupidest question where I was like, can I ask you something? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, what are we here for? and she was like, it's for a title shot. And I ended up typing belt into the thing, but I was like, so these are trios? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, why is Will Hobbs there? And she was like, Will Hobbs is in a trio. And I was like, with who? And like, and even like when she said it, like a couple minutes later, I was like, then why are the Lucha Brothers there? And she was like, the Lucha Brothers as well are in a trio. And I was like, but not with Pac.
Not with Pac.
Not with Pac.
No. Well, they did like a couple of entrances, but most people didn't have entrances. So then I, who was like half, I mean, I guess not concentrated, was like, oh, so the Lucha Brothers, I'm typing into my notes, Lucha Brothers are going to fight somebody in this, like, because I didn't even realize it was the Battle Royale. And then I was like, oh, I guess the Acclaimed, because they are the only ones. And then I was like, why are there 18 people in this match? Like, oh, bad setup.
Listen,
it's crazy.
I loved the best of seven. And obviously I love matches where like the elite get to fight together. But I really think that they did not think this fucking trios belt through enough, because they do not have enough trios to maintain it. And like, it makes me crazy every time people are like, there should be a women's tag team belt. And I'm like, there's not enough fucking people. Like,
if they give the women twice the time, sure. Yeah, and it's, like, crazy, too, because, like, the trio's belt, it's, like, I think last week a bunch of people in our group chat who've forgotten who had it because House of Black haven't been doing anything with it.
We all forgot.
And then, like, and also, like, FTR now has the tag belts, but they're not wrestling any tags, so it's just, like,
well, because who's left, right? Like, who, everybody who is in the tag team division is also doing double duty in the trios division, but there's enough people now that can't fight each other because they fought each other somewhat recently. Although I guess we're doing FTR versus Acclaimed again. I don't know. It's just none of it. I'm like, this belt shouldn't exist. This division is so chaotic.
Okay, two things. A, what's going to happen when we when maybe we do semi-roster split for Collision, are they going to split the belts up? Okay, so that's one question. But two, this is totally different. Don't you think it would be kind of fun if someone did a plot line where they won the belt because they were like, the belt is tainted and someone has to destroy it, so they just win the belt to destroy the belt?
That'd like be the great. One if they ring, were like,
they say we
like,
have to drop it in the fire.
I Tony was like, that. I've made a huge mistake, so we got to get rid of this belt. Yeah, that'd be
well, but phenomenal. I guess that's what's going on behind the scenes. Right, but I want a great wrestler story, kayfabe storyline where they're like
best friends and OC could do that really well. Get the belt to destroy the belt.
You think they could?
It'd be funny.
I guess I was imagining like more of a pathos driven.
Okay, so we have different
Harold
creative
Kumar way than yeah, best friends could do a great job.
Harold and Kumar to destroy the trio's belts.
I agree, it's not nothing. It's not what I was envisioning, but that's the beauty of a diverse writer's room. Lots of opinions.
That's right.
Different let's ideas. Let's get it on over to Will Washington.
We'll fax it over to Will.
That's it.
Anything else to say about this before we play a game?
I want Anne to make her comment about best friends.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, like, I was like, best friends aren't in this trios match, but I was like, well, OC was, like, in the first match with Bandito for reasons that escape me.
That's his real friend now.
Yeah, his only friend. So I was like, well, I guess that makes sense that they're not in the trios thing. But then I saw, again, on Instagram, I think, that they did, like, a dark match, like, with Rocky in a trio before Dynamite was filmed. Like, why?
Why were
Hobbs
they in
and
that?
QT... in this battle royale, and the varsity athletes and best friends are just like doing not even a YouTube match anymore. I don't know.
Are you guys at all worried that best friends are going to go to ROH somewhat permanently?
Constantly.
Yeah, of course. What do you mean?
It
of
would
course.
Be so.
Did they have them? They had a match there, right?
Yeah.
Well, only one?
I think two.
Two?
I think I could be wrong.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
I've
Maybe
been like trying not to look at
many.
It. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't like. It's not.
Maybe I just have
it's
to
not
go
stupid from like a business perspective. Like if you were gonna do, like if you had to sit there and be like, whose fans
are
dedicated enough to pay for this? I would
Eddie
say
Kingston
it's Eddie
and
Kingston
best friends.
And best friends. Like it's smart, but I can't be doing it. I can't be doing it.
It's smart and it's abusive. So.
I will watch their matches, but I don't like it. And I'm like, you have to bring them back. You have to bring Eddie back. And you have to bring
I know.
I can't just never see Eddie again. Like,
and
that can't.
You split up Eddie and Mox, and then you split up OC and best friends. Like, I'll just go jump in a volcano.
What are they
going to
do with OC after he loses the belt? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, is he going to get back in a storyline with best friends at that point? Or is it just like... He not have friends anymore.
Oh no, he's best friends with Adam Cole now.
Oh, he has Adam Cole, Bandito, and Roddy Strong.
Yeah, they've been inseparable. Don't you remember?
The undisputed
<They're long-standing>.
Whatever.
The undisputed
whatever.
Whatever.
Championship superstars. Okay, should we play a game?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. So this is a new game. Leah, who did we get a great email from that we loved?
Betsy.
We got a great email from Betsy. Thank you, Betsy. We appreciate you beyond measure. You said that you loved hearing our little imagine about Jungle Boy being Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So, and you said, I'd love to see all the WB AEW shows. AEWB, that's what I should have done. Anyway, so I made a list of some of the classic old-timey WBCW shows that we're all familiar with. Maybe some from other channels too. I don't really know. And our beloved producer Marjorie is going to give us some random wrestler names one at a time, and we are going to decide which show we think they would be on, and just kind of chat about what the vibes would be. Do you think I captured it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfectly.
Okay. Producer Marjorie, do you have a name for us?
First up, Danhausen.
Oh no. Well, he would
Dan
fit in on a lot of these.
A lot of these. Honestly, like, I mean, he would be like the funniest side character on like Supernatural where like
yeah. I honestly think he has kind of like a I'm watching Charmed now. But I do think he has kind of a charmed demon vibe because they're just a little less, they make a little less sense than the demons on these other shows.
When I think about Danhausen and Alyssa Milano interacting, I feel so happy.
Well, those sisters would make amazing faces at Danhausen. And they wouldn't really understand the humor. No, you know, no. Like they would just be like, I don't get, he's not funny.
I was just reading down the list and, you know, being like, oh yeah, Buffy, sure, Angel, you know, Smallville, whatever. And then I got to the OC and I was like, huh.
Danhausen on
it's
the
a
OC.
Funny little blast of an image.
Danhausen on the OC is just like a bit character who's like an embarrassing freshman at that school.
Yep.
And that there's some kind of storyline that it turns out like that Seth is feeling like self-conscious about what a little dweeb he used to be. And then he and Summer have sex. And he's like, I'm a big man. I'm not a Danhausen anymore. I'm a big man now.
Okay. Wow, Danhausen really does go with everything.
He just fits in. Should we do another one?
Yeah.
Next up, Tony Khan.
Oh, no. Wow.
Speaking of embarrassing freshmen.
Okay. One of Lex Luthor's friends on Smallville.
That is absolutely, in terms of money, that works. And I love thinking about Tony Khan visiting Lex Luthor in his palace that he flew into the middle of Kansas and meeting Lex Luthor's best friend, adult Lex Luthor's best friend, 15-year-old and smiling his big Tony Khan smile and just being like, it is so nice to meet you.
The fact that Tom Welling is supposed to be 15 on that show is so funny.
It's so messed up.
It's like, that's the real show they could never make today. I'll tell you that for free. I also think that, what thought did I just have? That Tony Khan, oh, I could see him as a side character on Veronica Mars at their rich private school. And just be like a weird kid who has like a mystery that Veronica ends up having to solve.
Yeah, I could see it.
But I can't see him as Veronica, to be clear.
Veronica.
I don't think he would be
I don't think he'd handle that well. No, yeah.
No.
He seems like he'd crack under stress real quick.
Okay, but let me say this. When you see the Veronica flashbacks and she's like so nice and sweet and bubbly... So maybe it's like we just haven't
Tony Khan just needs
hardened Tony Khan yet.
A trauma. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is funny to think about Tony Khan in like a high school show because it's like he would be like editor of the yearbook and like the paper. He'd have like 10 different extracurricular activities that he was just doing coke and running in between.
Let me hit you with this. Tony Khan's best friend CM Punk was killed by spoiler alert. Well, we'll decide whether to... Let's bleep that later, shall we?
Okay. Yeah. Let's
bleep Perfect. That. Should we have another?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next up, Jungle Boy.
Perfect. Oh, little JB.
Jungle Boy was made for Everwood. He was like lab created for Everwood.
Okay. Literally, when I was making this list of shows, I had the thought. I was like, you know who would be Ephraim on Everwood? It's Darby. But JB would be Bright. And it's not right that I remember these names. Everwood is a really bad show. It was not
I'm
a good
honestly,
show.
Like, impressed you even remembered Everwood existed because that's a show I haven't thought about in, I don't know, when did Everwood go off the air?
A long time ago.
I would guess 2005.
Many years ago.
Feels
and
right.
It is not, again, don't watch
hey,
it.
That's where Chris Pratt existed.
He was Bright.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That's where he existed.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I could have said that differently. Absolutely.
That was Chris Pratt's pocket universe.
I didn't watch. I only watched like the first 10 episodes of The 100. But how do you think JB would do?
Bad. I think. Bad. I haven't watched very much of it. But my friend Anna has watched a lot of it, I think.
All right. Can you for
pardon
next week,
JB as Veronica Mars?
Can I do a book report for you?
No, next week, can you report back on what Anna says about JB on
okay,
the 100?
Yes, I'll check in with her. And she'll be happy. But she'll want to weigh in on Darby, too. They kind of go together now, so I'll ask about JB and Darby. She won't want to weigh in on JB if she doesn't get to weigh in on Darby.
That's fair.
Should we do another?
Yes.
This is fun.
So fun.
Billy Gunn.
I think that Billy Gunn could be some kind of, like, demon on Buffy or Angel.
Yeah. Yeah, a very charming one.
Yeah.
He's got a very fictional body type, so. he'd be a funny dad on any of these
any
shows.
Any of these shows. I was just thinking, like, if he, like, was, like, dating, like, Julie
Cooper
on the SC, totally. Like, it would be perfect. Yep.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes.
He could be a Gossip Girl dad. Like,
oh, my God. Because
he'd
then
steal other people's kids,
because
for sure.
Because the Gunn kids would go to OC High, whatever it's called.
OC High.
Oh, my
they'd
God.
Be over there at OC High.
Why can't I think of what it was called?
I know.
It's the rich school for girls and boys. Both of them.
The OC High School for Rich Girls and Boys. Yeah.
The Harbor School.
Yeah.
Harbor School. That's great. That does bring joy. I love the idea of, like, Billy Gunn just having, like, favorite students at the Harbor School that aren't his children. He's just like, those are the winners. I'm back in the winners. Yeah. Not my ratty little kids. I would love to see that. Should we do one more?
Yeah. One more, March.
Jade Cargill.
She could also be.
I think she's Vampire Diaries.
Oh. Absolutely,
I think she's a Vampire Diaries vampire.
Oh shit! You are so right about that.
Yeah.
Jade Cargill is the like the mid season level up baddie on a season of Vampire Diaries, where it's like right before they go on hiatus, like you're thinking, you're like, oh, Caleb is the worst that there ever could be. And then Jade shows up just at the end of the episode and like wrecks the person that you think is strongest. And you're like, oh, fuck. there is a new girl in town. And Damon says something really hammy about it. And you guys all know that that's his award.
That is his award.
Yeah.
Mommy's
Little Ham Award.
He's the original.
Mm-hmm. And girls get it sometimes, but he is a boy, so it's named for boys. I thought that was a pretty good game.
That was so fun.
Yeah,
that
really
was fun.
Enjoyed that. Well, Betsy, I hope you enjoyed that because we all enjoyed your email.
We loved your email. If anyone else has, like, shows or a genre of shows that you're like, oh, I wish they would do this for, let us know. Because we'd love to. We'll do anything not to talk about the actual product and just kind of talk around it, really. So that's kind of our thing. So on that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
This is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. And you know it. You love it. And please send us your email.
What happened? Did you forget the name of our show?
I didn't forget the name of our show, but I tried to say in my brain, you can Gmail us. Like, I just forgot. It was like a little alarming where it was like, oh God, they got me. Like, the AI is going to take over. The world is for them. Gmail. Okay. Anyway, so then just so do that if you want to. And like us and subscribe us if you want to, wherever you get your podcasts, and come back next week if you want to. And gmail.com. Do you guys watch when you were... No, I'm the youngest, so probably you guys haven't. The Zoom on PBS. Come on and Zoom, come on and Zoom, come on and Zooma, Zooma, Zooma. And then they'd say, you could email them at zoom.com. Okay, bye.